Father, we stand in awe of you and only of you. You who hold our breath, you who hold our heart, you who hold life. We stand in awe of your goodness. We thank you. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace. As we repent for every sin, transgression, iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, dead works, selfish ambitions, false agreements. We repent, Lord, for the sins of our eyes, ears, and heart. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Wash us with the blood of Jesus. Purge us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit as we welcome Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come teach us. Come empower us. Let the anointing and the power of your love break every yoke of bondage. Let the anointing destroy the yokes. Let the anointing back your word. Let the anointing draw us to you. Let the anointing bring us new life, that we may be brand new even tonight, and old things pass away, and all things become new. Come, Master, establish your image, likeness, and character in your kingdom, in us and through us, that Jesus would be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah! Give God glory. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's a good night too. Well, of course it is. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God is on the move. All the time. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So here's something very important with this, and as I began, in fact, that scripture was just given to me now. So as I began to seek out what the Lord wanted to talk about tonight, this scripture was just quickened to me in the area of, you know, with all, there are individuals, there are places we can get to and fall into where we become good workers, but there's something missing, the substance. And that substance is the presence and the love of God. So everybody got it. The Bible says that God is love. So, you know, we can get caught up in an area where work, and doing it has a form of godliness and doing works. Things are looking good, and, you know, but there's something that's missing, and that's God's love, God's presence, His purpose. In other words, now you're just doing it because you're doing it, but you're not doing it unto the Lord. Has everybody got it? And we have to be careful in that, because even at this time that is happening right now, there are so many things that's going on in this world where people are looking at things that are good, but they're evil. Does everybody understand? In other words, there isn't discernment in the world right now. Many people are looking at an area of a form of godliness, but it's actually evil. Now, in this, one of the things that the Lord is bringing us to, because there's so much deception going on, and He wants us to be able to expose evil. But before you can expose evil, you must remove the good from evil. Now, I know this sounds a little strange, and we'll get to it You must remove the good from evil. Now turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being from the breath of life. In verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now this is wild, because he said, okay, now man, the breath of life came in. God put man into a place to learn from God. He was going to learn eternal things from God. So he had to cooperate. It wasn't that the man was going to just till the ground and so forth. He was going to maintain. He was going to keep. God was going to teach him how to cooperate. So he was going to co-labor with God. But God warned him. He said, listen, man, you eat of the tree or the fruit of the tree that contains the knowledge of good and evil, meaning the intellect, understanding, or desire. The intellect, understanding, or desire of good and evil. If you eat of that fruit and you begin to get it intellectually, you understand it, and you desire it, you will die. Does everybody got it? Because God never wanted man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He never wanted that to happen, because he knew that if he ate of it, he'd become it. He would become it. So God was going to utilize everything in that garden to train up Adam to live as an offspring of God Almighty. Go to Genesis 3 and verse 22. Now we know that Adam and Eve ate the fruit. In verse 22, and it says, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. In other words, they were removed for disobeying and becoming good and evil. They were rejecting the tree of life, and the tree of life here means righteousness. They were rejecting the righteousness of God. So I want you to get this, that so good and evil produce unrighteousness. Remember, he said, do not eat of it. See, there's a difference between good and evil and a difference between righteousness. Has everybody got it? Even though that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did it produce? Death. So it had a form of goodness, but it still produced death. But the tree of life produced righteousness. So good and evil produce unrighteousness leading to death. In other words, this death is a representation of the separation of the life of God. So even people that are on the planet right now, that are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, are actually dead. Because they are living a life without God. Has everybody got this? Good. Now, so good and evil is carnal, and righteousness is life, or what we call spiritual life. You will serve good and evil, or righteousness, one or the other. And, of course, what you eat is what you become. Now, it may look good, may taste good, feel good, but be evil. That's called deception, and also leads to death. So it may look good, taste good, and feel good, but actually be evil. But we know that the tree of life, which is righteousness, is pure holiness, righteousness, and truth, which produces life. So I want you to begin to look at an area where here we have good and evil. And the only way that you are going to expose evil is by removing the good. Because good is the cover-up of evil. So everybody got it? Good is the cover-up. It's the covering of evil. So for me and you to expose evil, we first must remove the good from evil. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Well, you know, you got to think about what's going on in the world right now. Well, it's our responsibility to start removing the good from evil. Or you'll never expose the evil. Did you ever get near a dog? And it looks beautiful and innocent. And you go to pet it, and the next thing you know, it turns on you. But this dog could be clean and furry, and you go to pet it, and it just, man, you pet it one time, and it looks at you, and you pet it the second time, and you think it's good, and next thing you know, your nose is missing. You know, one day I went to go, these people asked me to come to their house and visit them for something, and I saw this dog in the backyard, skin and bone. And I'm looking at these people and thinking, you guys are claiming to be believers, you're not feeding that dog back there. And the Bible tells us that we're to treat our animals good. I was appalled. This poor dog was skin and bone, and I think he was like a Rottweiler or something like that. But I'm telling you, this thing was skin and bone. And then there was another dog way over to another side that was healthy. And I'm thinking, why aren't you feeding? Well, that's my son's dog. He doesn't take care of it. Well, I'm thinking, well, why don't you feed it? So I was upset. I felt sorry for this dog. And I went out to the dog, and the dog jumped all over me, and it had this big long chain on it, and you could see that the chain was engraving in his neck. And I'm like, wait a minute here. And I was rubbing his neck and so forth. And I finally said, where's your food? And a woman showed me where her food was, and I went in and got a bowl of the food, and I came out, and I went to go lay it down, and that dog bit me. Because he was afraid he'd lose the food. He didn't understand. Of course, I forgave him because I know he didn't know better. But he bit me. And I thought, whoa. Of course, at first my flesh wanted to choke him, thinking, what, you ungrateful thing? Did you know I came out here to help you? But he doesn't know that, does he? But do you understand that there's that area where there's that good, but then behind that good, there is evil. And it's our responsibility to remove the good from the evil, to expose it. Proverbs 11, is everybody there? In verse 30, what does it say? The fruit of the righteous is a what? Tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? So we see, we just talked about the tree of life being righteousness. So it says the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. Go to 12, 26. Proverbs 12, 26. Is everybody there? Let's read it. The righteous should choose his friends what? Carefully. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. And the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. So the way of righteousness is life, and the way of unrighteousness is death. Proverbs 13, in verse 5 and 6. Read it. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. So we see here that it's talking about the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. And by being righteous, it will lead to life, won't it? Go to Proverbs 15, 1 through 5, or 1 through 4. Proverbs 15. Would you read it? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are on every, in every place, keeping watch on the what? Evil and the good. So he's watching on the evil and the good, isn't he? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Psalm 45. Psalm 45. In verse 1. Would you all read it with me, please? My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So we're seeing here that the kingdom, he's talking about the kingdom of God in the area of this, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So we know that the tree of life is a representation of righteousness. Amen. It produces life. But the tree of knowledge there is good and evil. And it's our responsibility to do what? Remove the good from the evil. Remove the good from the evil. Romans 3. And verse 5. Romans 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then, how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported and as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just, so we're seeing there's an area portraying to be righteousness with unrighteousness is the same as portraying to be good with evil. So we must continue to remove the good from the evil to expose it. Amos 5. Amos chapter 5. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Amos chapter 5 and verse 14. It's right after Joel. They're brothers in Christ. In verse 14 it says, seek good and not evil. Now this good means righteousness. Seek good and not evil, that you may what? Live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil. Love good or love righteousness. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So it's something very powerful here. He says that you and I are to hate evil. The only way to remove good from evil is to hate evil. Why? Because if you hate evil, you'll see through the good. And you'll remove it. Do you understand it? Isn't it our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen? So if you truly hate evil, now this is a righteous hatred, you will remove good from evil. You'll remove the good from the evil. In other words, that evil that's betraying good, you'll be able to remove from it and expose the evil. Why? Because you'll see right through it. Because you hate evil. You hate wickedness. Is everybody all right? Yeah. Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5. So the only way to remove the good from the evil is to hate evil. And verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Let's read it together. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what's happening right now? Look at what's going on in the world. They're calling good evil and evil good. But it says, woe to them. Now this woe means without mercy. Woe. Without mercy. Woe to them who call evil good and good evil. Why? Because they don't hate evil. So if they don't hate evil, they cannot remove the good, can they? They can't see through the good to the evil to expose it. And isn't that what's going on in this world right now? Come on. Are they not promoting same-sex marriages? Are they not promoting abortion? Are they not promoting all of these ungodly videos and movies? I mean, internet, it's all, I mean, everything is, they're removing prayer out of schools more and more, taking down Ten Commandments. I mean, they are calling good evil now. So they're going to hate you. Do you understand that? They're going to hate you. You are a threat to them. Because if you hate evil, you see them where the world doesn't. Go to Malachi 2. So do you think the devil wants to wipe you out? Hey man, you're a threat to him. Malachi chapter 2. What does it say? Verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or where is the God of justice? So we see everyone who does evil in this is good in the sight of the Lord. That's what they're saying. In other words, they're not saying anything different because they don't see quick judgment on it. So they think it's okay to do evil. But some of it has a form of goodness. Because God's not in it, but it has a form of goodness because they do good deeds. There's a lot of movie stars out there doing good deeds, but they are wicked as can be. But they can't see through it because they don't hate evil. So they only look at the deed. Has everybody got it? But see, you and I know better because we carry the spirit of truth. So we're a threat to them. They actually fear us. So they will hate you. Zephaniah 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. And the reason why they don't hate evil is because they don't seek righteousness either. Is everybody okay? Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. Would you read it? It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. So the complacency will not discern the evil behind the good, because it doesn't hate evil. It has become in an area where they are complacent or they are comfortable. In fact, they don't even care. They don't even care. As long as they get a paycheck, they don't care. As long as their little world isn't interfered with, they don't care. But once their little world is interfered with, they begin to care. And God is shaking everybody's foundations right now. So they're going to start caring. They're going to start caring. What's he shaking right now? The financial. All the economic financial industries are being shaken. Because of what they relied on. They were complacency. They were fine with their bank accounts. They were fine with their businesses. Man, there was a man on the news the other night who was worth $29 billion. He's down to $2 billion. From $29 billion, he's down to $2 billion. I'd say he's a little freaking out. from $29 billion in all of these businesses and industries he owned, in bus industries and all kinds of manufacturing stuff and all in the auto and stuff, he was worth $29 billion and is now down to $2 billion. His world is being shaken. Eventually he'll have to look up for help because it won't come in the mail unless he gets a track from Jesus. Go to Luke 11. So we must hate evil, right? In Luke chapter 11, in verse 13, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we see that even though there are people who are evil, they still give out what? Good gifts. See, but so many times people are looking at the good gifts. Well, that person just gave me this stuff. They must be a good person. I mean, they feed the poor, but they go home and beat their wives. Yes, they go out and they humble themselves and they dig ditches but they steal banks. Do you understand? See, there's an area where we must remove the good from the evil so the evil is exposed, and it's happening more and more and more. In fact, God is doing it right now, isn't he? He's doing it in the world right now. He is removing the good from the evil so the evil is being exposed. And that's our responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. And his power is fear. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. Would you read it with me? But know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in perilous times? For men will be lovers of what? Themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, man, that's wicked, isn't it? I mean, it's just plain, stinking, pure evil. But now look at it. Now it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So it says that there are individuals out there with all of these fruits of wickedness, but they're having a form of godliness. Why? Because people are looking at the good and not the evil. So because he wears a robe, or he's a preacher or a pastor, or because he's a police officer or a mayor or a president or a judge or an attorney or a professional football player or whatever. I mean, we just heard about a professional football player that was murdered by his 20-year-old girlfriend. And he was well known for his good deeds. Well known. Gave hundreds of thousands of dollars away. Helped feed the poor. All kinds of stuff. He was everywhere helping, doing good deeds. But yet, he had a 20-year-old girlfriend with a wife and 4 children. See, people did not. In fact, people mourned for him. Unfortunately, he's in hell. I hope maybe he made it somehow. But the way it looks like right now, he didn't make it. Because see, the good deeds don't allow you into heaven. It's only the righteousness of Christ that allows us into heaven. Why? Because who you serve when you die is where you go. So here was evil betraying to be good. Having a form of godliness or a form of righteousness. So we must remove the good from the evil, so that it must be exposed. But the only way that's going to happen is if you hate evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. So this is an area where we must begin to remove the good from the evil, so the evil is exposed. If Satan's going to transform himself into a righteous minister, he was talking about those apostles that are going around trying to imitate him, but yet their heart wasn't correct with God. They were quoting the same things he was doing, but their heart wasn't right with God. And he was exposing them. He was writing to the church of Corinth. He said, be careful. This is happening there. There are many coming, proclaiming that they know. They know us. They're portraying to be like us, but they're not like us. Expose them. Listen, this is happening in these days right now. And it is so important that we begin to not get sucked up in the area of goodness. That we begin to really remove the good from the evil so the evil can be exposed. It's our job. We are the body. We carry the ministry of reconciliation. We also carry the ministry of exposure. Psalm 97. Listen, if you don't hate evil, ask God to give you a hatred for evil. I'm telling you, that is a righteous hatred. It's not an evil hatred. An evil hatred is backed by evil. A righteous hatred is backed by the anointing. Psalm 97, verse 10. Come on, everybody there. I want you to read it with me. You who love the Lord hate evil. Evil. Hello, come on, say it again. You who love the Lord hate evil. One more time. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is shown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Love the Lord, hate evil. Light is shown by removing the good from the evil to expose the evil. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. Y'all getting this? You know, when there is a righteousness there, and you're eating of the tree of righteousness, one of the areas is respect and honor. Respect and honor. Why? The Bible says submit to one another. That's called respect and honor of one another. That's righteousness. And in this, there's an area where we are not only one with the Spirit, one with the Lord, but we're one with each other. Where we respect and honor one another. And where there's a problem or something going on, it is our responsibility to expose it. Not in unrighteousness, but in righteousness. That's why the Bible even tells us to turn a brother from sin. You know? Be an extension of the hand of God, of the heart of God. You know, it seems that when disasters manifest, that there's more unity. And not only disasters are coming to expose those who are wicked by removing the good, but it's also going to cause people to come into the kingdom and for unity of the kingdom of God in the body. To become more unified so the world will see. Because the Bible says that they will see your love for each other And that will, it's what they're going to see, the separation between you and humanites. Because you're eternal lights. And your light will shine because of your expression of Christ's love. It doesn't mean that you're a wimp. Jesus was not a wimp. He was bold. In fact, they were amazed at his authority and boldness. He didn't take no garbage. But what he did is he always removed the good from the evil and exposed the evil. If you notice, and even some of the letters in the book of Revelation, what did he say? He shared all the good things with an individual that he said, with the church, and he said, but this is what I have against you. So what was he doing? He was removing the good from the evil to expose it in the church. And I want you to know that that's happening more and more and more. That's why the Bible says judgment is first in the house of God. It's first in the house of God. But there will be a form of godliness. There will be a form of goodness. Oh, they're good people. I mean, they're really good people. They're just deceived. Well, then that means if you'll remove the good, you'll see the evil. The Bible says he who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So if he's God's enemy, he's yours. It's not that God is their enemy, it's that they're an enemy of God because God knows they're going to turn on them. And if they're going to turn on God, they'll turn on you. That's why it's our responsibility to remove the good from the evil, and then evil will be exposed. But you first must hate evil. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Psalm 119, verse 104, read it. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every what? False way. I hate every false way. Well, where there's a false way, there's deception. Even though it may have a form of goodness, if I'll remove the goodness, I'll see the evil behind it because it's false. Anything that's false is not true. Anything that's not true is a lie. Anything that's not a lie is of the devil. Verse 113. What does it say? I hate the what? Double-minded, but I love your law. These are things that you're to hate. Why? Because you're removing the good from the evil. And you're exposing the wicked. You're exposing the evil in this arena. You're to hate double-mindedness. If you got double-mindedness, you better hate it. And you better start removing your self-goodness to expose the evil. Because double-mindedness is evil. Hello? Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. So we're to hate, we're to abhor it, right? Lying. You're to hate it, you're to abhor it, it's supposed to be disgusting to you. So your purpose is to remove the good from the evil and expose it. How many of you know justification is a lie? See, justification has a portrayal of good. But if you'll remove the justification, you'll see that evil is there. And whose responsibility is that? Ours. Righteous hatred backed by the anointing. That's what we have. Righteous hatred that is backed by the anointing. Go to Hebrews 5. That's why the Bible says don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be separate. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, it does tell you don't be a busybody also, right? Verse 12, Hebrews 5:12. Would you read it? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Glory. So we're to discern good and evil. Luke 14. You know, I've always looked at good and evil in the area. Oh, that's good. And then there's evil. No, I don't look at it that anymore. I look at discern what is evil using the good as. In other words, if you're to discern what is good and evil, then you're supposed to be discerning, removing the good from the evil so you can expose the wicked. But of course, the only way that you're going to remove the good from the evil is to hate evil. Luke 14 and verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's it. This is righteous hatred. This is an area where we hate anything that would interfere between yourself and God. It can't happen, or you will not be considered his disciple. And this is where people are caught up in the emotional arena. Emotions, feelings. See, they look at love as an area of a feeling, and it's not a feeling. Love is a choice. Hello? Love is a what? Choice. You choose. The Bible says God chose us, didn't he? And it says you love him because he what? First chose you. Didn't say because he made you feel good. So if you're looking for a feeling, you'll be deceived. Love is a choice. Now, the feeling that we want from God is peace, joy, and righteousness. It's not love at first sight, it's lust at first sight. And lust, where there's lust, there's torment. That's why people can't let people go. Hello? But I love them. No, you don't, you lust them. Because there's that feeling. See, so marriages are broken up also in this arena because there's a sense of good. Are you with me? There's a sense of good. But if you'll remove the good from the evil, you'll see the evil, because if you hate evil, you'll expose it. And look at the world. What does the world do? Man, they got a schedule. Every few years they get divorced. They get sick with one another. Why? Because the feelings are gone. While the feelings are gone, I got to find somebody else to make me feel better. See, because they're looking at the feeling as a good. But if they would expose the, if they would remove the good and expose the evil there, they would realize the truth. Does everybody see this? It blows my mind when people in the body of Christ get divorced. Does it happen? Yes. But somebody lost sight. Somebody lost sight. Especially when ministers and so forth in the body of Christ, and that happens, it hurts. I mean, it's like a ripple effect in the whole body. It hurts. Everybody pays the price for someone's mistake. Everybody, one way or another. Why? Because then somewhere in the body has to be caught up. Believe me, if we were all like-minded, we'd be a lot further if the whole body of Christ was more like-minded. Women are willing to go back to an abuser of a husband. That is not love, that is lust. And it's bondage. And there are men going back to the abuser of the wife. She's kicking his butt too. That's not love, that's lust. That's codependency. That is lust and bondage. Hello? But if that relationship with the Lord is pure and true and maintained, your love affair with God will outweigh everything. Everything. So if somebody offends you, you'll bless them. Hallelujah, be blessed. You just let them go. Hallelujah. But it's our responsibility to hate evil But the evil won't be exposed unless you remove the good from the evil. Is everybody okay? Remember, feeling, people are looking for a good feeling. Huh. That's why people use drugs and alcohol. They're looking for a good feeling. Because they're not getting fulfillment from God because they're not willing to wait on God to fulfill them. They want it now, and if they don't get it now, it's because they ain't dead. Is everybody all right? You must hate your mother, your sister, your brother, and everyone else. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. God is raising up disciples right now. Matthew 7. You know, people are, I mean, they're killing each other out there in the world especially. Well, you used to make me feel good, now you don't. Same thing with the drug world. People are using stronger and harder drugs because the other drugs aren't making them feel good anymore. And are using more and more and more until they end up dead. Because to them, that feeling was good. But if you remove the good from the evil will be exposed. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Is everybody okay? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So it says you'll know them by their fruits. So they may have a form of being a good person, but I'm telling you, their fruit will be exposed. You'll see it. It always exposes. Why? Because light always exposes darkness. So you must be ready always to remove the good to expose the evil. Why? To protect you. Amen? To protect you. You don't know who or what. I remember one day I wanted to do a good Samaritan thing. There was a guy that was, he had one of those back braces on. You know, I could tell he just came out of like working in a heavy play, you know, like a stock room or something. So I thought I'd, and he was standing in a corner, you know, and he was like looking at me, can you give me a ride? And I said, yeah, come on in the van. So I, you know, and he looked good and everything. And I began to seek the Lord as we were driving. All of a sudden, I saw a vision. And I saw the man stabbing me with the end of a pointed umbrella in a vision while I was driving. And I thought, whoa. And I looked behind me. And there was an umbrella right next to the van, right in the back of my seat in the van. And it was an exact identical umbrella that stabbed me right in the heart and killed me. And I thought, whoa. And so the guy wanted me to take him to another place. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I could see now his anger. So I pulled over to the side of the road. I opened the door and he went to go grab the umbrella. And I laid and put my foot on the umbrella, and I put the word of God in his hand and kicked him out of the door. And he actually wanted me to go bring him somewhere, and I knew in the spirit that he was going to go buy dope. And I can only share with you, but if you hate evil, you'll see through the good. I mean, this guy was seemed to be the calmest, nicest guy. You know, we were talking. But when I had that vision, I knew my dad was warning me. And then when I looked behind me and I saw that umbrella right there, thinking, man, it's the one that they would just stab me in the heart with. And I had to get rid of him quick. But I put the word of God in his hand on his way out. And if you don't hate evil, you better pray and ask God to give you a hatred for evil. And this is a righteous hatred that is backed by the anointing. Jesus abhors and hates evil. And so should you. And we'll know them by their fruit. Go to John 15. John 15 and verse 18. Is everybody there? John 15 and verse 18. Would you read it with me? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you. Now this is, who's the ruler of this world? Satan. So he hates you. So he's going to do everything he can to kill you if you'll give him the opportunity. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And they're going to hate you without a cause. They're not even going to know why they hate you. They're just going to dislike you. They hate you. They don't get it. And it's because they are under the rule of Satan. And I'm going to close at Romans 12. Is everybody okay? Oh, this is good. Let's start at verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good, which he means righteousness. Amen. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. In other words, do not let your opinion go above the word of God. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. In other words, remove the good from the evil and expose the evil. Use the discernment. Use the wisdom. If you are backed by the anointing, you will know all things. Allow the anointing of Christ to operate in your life. It is essential. That was what will separate you from the world, is being backed by the anointing, not being backed by evil. Remember, we are in a tremendous shift in stage right now where more and more things are being exposed in our lives, in the lives around us, other lives and in the world. More and more and more. It is happening. We're getting closer and closer to the end. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but we are getting closer. So use wisdom. Use the discernment God has given you. And remove the good from evil. Expose the evil. And maintain a righteous hatred for evil. So you be willing to see through the good and expose the evil. Know them by their fruits. By their what? Their fruit. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus upon all the seeds. I ask that you allow them to grow and bear fruit for your glory. I ask in any area, Lord, where we have fallen short, that you'd grant us repentance and healing. That you continue to establish your kingdom in us and through us, and grant us more discernment, more strength, more boldness, and more sight, that we would remove the good and see through the good, right to the evil, and expose it for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.